from 1 Corinthians. Actually, a very famous passage, chapter 13, 1 through 11. I'll read in English first. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind.
日本語でお読みします。第一コリント人への手紙13章1節から11節までです。たとえ私が人の威厳や御使いの威厳で話しても、愛がないならやかましいドラやうるさいシンバルと同じです。またたとえ私が預言の賜物を持っており、またあらゆる奥義とあらゆる知識とに通じ、また山を動かすほどの完全な信仰を持っていても、愛がないなら何の値打ちもありません。またたとえ私が持っているものの全部を貧しい人たちに分け与え、また私の体を焼かれるために渡しても、愛がなければ何の役にも立ちません。愛は寛容であり、愛は親切です。また人を妬みません。愛は自慢せず、高慢になりません。礼儀に反することをせず、自分の利益を求めず、怒らず、人のした悪を思わず、不正を喜ばずに真理を喜びます。すべてを我慢し、すべてを信じ、すべてを期待し、すべてを耐え忍びます。愛は決して耐えることがありません。預言の賜物ならば廃れます。威厳ならばやみます。知識ならば廃れます。というのは、私たちの知っているところは部分であり、預言することも一部分だからです。完全なものが現れたら不完全なものは廃れます。我が子供であった時には、私が子供であった時には、子供として話し、子供として考え、子供として論じましたが、大人になった時には子供のことをやめました。
And Pastor Aki's message today is based on that passage, and it's called Love Never Fails.
Morning. How are you guys doing? Good, good, good. Wayne, I know you're doing great. Wayne's a big Oklahoma fan.
Oh, yes.
And they beat Texas yesterday in football by, I don't know, like 50 something points. And
63-21.
Amen. Well, let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this time that we could come together and just hear your word. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and fill this place up. We pray, Holy Spirit, you just fill our hearts and our mind and just the space we're in. We ask for just heaven's atmosphere to invade this place, Lord. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. And we thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've been doing a series on spiritual gifts, and it's so important that we do, as the scripture teaches, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. But in the same breath that Paul says, desire spiritual gifts, he says, and follow the way of love. And today I want to talk about love, and most of you've heard this passage before. If you've been to a wedding, this passage is commonly read. last couple of weeks ago, I did my first marriage. I officiated my first wedding. Not I had my first marriage. I've only been married once. I officiated my first wedding, and I used this passage. And it's so important that we know about love. Amen? I'm sure you guys know about love, but it's always important to go back to the fundamentals. Of course, our goal here in JCCT, if you want to know our vision, our goal here is that this would be a place where you encounter God. And God is love. And so in any way you encounter Him, hopefully it's, first of all, love, because God is love. We want JCC to be a place where you encounter God, and we're seeking to love, pray, and obey. Those are the three things. Our core value here is to love, pray, and obey. And today I want to talk about love. Let me just read the passage again. It says, "If I speak in human or angelic tongues but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all possessions to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not love, I gain nothing." And today, we're just going to stop there. Next week I'll talk more about love, but today I want to just stop there and talk about that passage in itself. And the three things I want to communicate today is the danger of serving without love, the importance of love, and the process of growing in love. The danger of serving without love, the importance of love, and the process of growing in love. In Matthew 7:21-23, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I'll declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Now some may look at this passage and say, okay, so everyone who does a miracle, or everyone who casts out demon, or everyone who prophesy, they won't enter the kingdom of heaven. And I don't think that's what the passage is trying to say. I think people shy away from the spiritual gifts because of many reasons, and maybe one for this passage. But I believe Jesus was just stating some of the things that normal Christians should be doing. And he's saying these things because you could look like a Christian but not enter the kingdom of heaven. And why is that? How is it possible? You could replace these works with anything you want, you know. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, didn't we not go to church every Sunday? Or did we not serve the church? Or did we not read the Bible every day?" You know, you can replace those prophesying, miracles, casting out demons with any works that are, you know, associated with being a Christian, a good Christian. And God will say to people on that day, "I never knew you." Why? Not because of the works. Going to church, serving, you know, reading your Bible, casting out demons, miracles, those are all good things. Jesus isn't trying to say these are bad things, don't do them. These are all good things. It's just the most important thing is this. And the key is this. Why people won't enter into heaven? It's because it's those who practiced lawlessness. The opposite of that, those who didn't practice love. Those who practice lawlessness, Jesus will say, "I never knew you." And so the key is to serve with our gifting. Desire spiritual gift through the way of love. It's so important that we put love first. And Paul says it this way in the passage we just read. He says, the same thing in a different way. He says, if I speak in human or angelic tongues, and many scholars would debate on what that means, but I believe human means, you know, a different human languages. If I could speak in English, Japanese, Korean, whatever, or angelic language, and this is where scholars would debate on. Some would say, you know, a language that is not earthly, and that's personally that's where what I believe. But he says, if I speak in human or angelic tongues, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Again, these things Paul are mentioning are good things, are important things. It's just, if there's no love attached to it, it becomes, as Paul says, a distraction. A clanging cymbal or gong. You know, the gift of tongue is meant to edify us. And at times, it's meant to bring people to the Lord. It's meant to evangelize. But Paul says, if you speak in tongues, I mean, if I just started speaking in perfect Hebrew right now, you guys would be amazed, right? I would be amazed. but it said, Paul says, you know, you do that and you don't love, it's a distraction. It may impress you guys. It'll impress me, but in God's eyes, it's a distraction. And he says, it's meant for edification, but it becomes a turnoff. It becomes a distraction. And again, he says, if you have faith that can move mountains or you could prophesy, it's nothing without love. And I've been talking about spiritual gifts. Again, let me emphasize this. Again, it is so important that we practice spiritual gifts. That you know spiritual gifts. That you eagerly desire spiritual gifts. I don't want to put you, any of you on the spot. But let me ask you something that will put you on the spot. You don't have to raise your hand. How many of you actually did something in pursuing spiritual gifts this week, this past week? Okay, you don't have to raise your hand, okay? You know, whether you prayed about it, you read about it, or you just asked God about it, did you do anything? I hope so, because I've been preaching on it for the last 3 weeks, right? So hopefully you just actually just prayed about it, even just prayed about it. But Paul here says this, your sense of worth. It's so easy to attach your sense of worth in serving, right? Sense of worth in your giftings. Sense of identity in what you do. I think many of us, if not all of us, at one point have done that, right? But the Bible says, don't put yourself sense of worth in what you do. You know, put yourself, if you're going to put your self-worth in something, put it in that God died for you. That's the best place to put it in, right? Value is in what people will pay for something, right? If someone is willing to pay $1 million for this Bible, and if you are coming, I will sell this Bible to you. But if anyone is willing to put pay $1 million for this for one reason or another, this Bible becomes, it's worth $1 million now. Right now it's probably worth $1. Someone might buy it for $1. The Bible says Jesus paid for us with his blood. Our worth is infinite because that's how great his blood is. If you're going to put your self sense of self-worth in something, don't put it in your giftings. Put it in what someone paid for it, which is Jesus' blood. Paul says, hey, if you could profit, if you're so gifted that you can move a mountain, but you don't love, it's nothing. You're nothing. And the third thing he says here, he says, If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Again, these are not bad things. Paul is talking about being selling all your possession to feed the poor or even dying for being Christian. He says, but if you do all that and don't love, you gain nothing. Jesus is not shy about saying this, and he says it a lot, but he says, he talks about rewards in heaven. And there is a place where we will be rewarded for everything we do for the gospel. In fact, he talks about even giving a cup of cold water to a little kid will be rewarded. Something as small as that. We live life, right? And some of us, we work really hard and we don't go recognized for it. God sees everything we do. Even just being considerate for other people. Even when you're driving and, you know, someone cuts you off and you don't get mad. No one sees that. God sees it. Or you let someone go ahead of you. Or, you know. Just the smallest thing. God sees. And if it's done in love, Jesus is not shy in saying, he says, you will be rewarded in heaven. Especially if you're not rewarded here. You'll be rewarded twice in heaven. But if you're rewarded here, he says sometimes, you know, you already got your reward. You don't need your reward in heaven. And this is talking about spiritual gifts being used for human approval. He says if you do that, you gain nothing. You lose your reward. And so again, it becomes a noisy gong. It becomes worth nothing. So there is definitely an importance in love, and let me just share with you two verses on the importance of love. In Matthew 22:36-40, it says this. As Jesus was teaching, there was a teacher that asked him a question, and let me read. It says, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Let me read that again. This is the first, meaning it needs to be first in our lives. It needs to be become the first thing we seek in this life, is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, strength, and soul. Jesus says two things. He says first, it's the first and the greatest. The greatest meaning is the most important and the most beneficial. That's what makes it great. It's important, it's beneficial. And the second is like it, you must love your neighbor as you love yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. Even before we love others, it's important that we love God first. And I'll talk about that more again, but the importance of love, I just want you to know, is the first and the greatest. And in our lives, it needs to be first, because it's the greatest. You follow love in this life, your life will have meaning. It'll be worth something at the end of your life, and as we go into the next life. But again, in John 13:34, the importance of love, Jesus says, I give you a new command, a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you, so you also must love each other. This is how everyone will know that you are my disciples, when you love each other. Again, the hallmark of a Christian shouldn't, people shouldn't know you're Christian because you go to church every Sunday. People shouldn't know you're a Christian because you carry a Bible around everywhere you go. Again, those aren't bad things. It's okay to carry your Bible around everywhere you go. You might get made fun of. I might make fun of you. what identifies us, Jesus says, if we love like Jesus loved. That's what identifies us. And I'm not going to get into the details of love today, but I do want to talk about just the process of growing in love. I believe next week I'll talk about where Paul says, you know, love is kind, love is long-suffering, and all these other things. But let me just talk about the process of growing in love. First, we need to receive him. As Jesus says, actually, this is not Jesus, but in John 1:11-13, it says, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The first step in growing in love is the most important step, and that is to receive Jesus. The scripture says God is love. And in order to grow in love and to have love, it's important that we receive it first and simply ask for it. We can't work for it. We can work in growing in it, but to gain it, we need to receive it first. Scripture says, if scripture is clear in the Gospels, those who did not receive Jesus, those who rejected Jesus, were the most unloving people. And sadly, they were the most religious people. It's so important that first we just receive God's love. It's kind of like an infant. Even though I've never had an infant, I don't know. I'm using this example just because I read it. It's not experiential. But for those of you who've had babies or who've worked with babies, had your own baby, the amount of love a child could express is very limited, right? In comparison to the amount of love a parent gives to the child. The parent feeds it, comforts it, I call it it, but it, you know, comforts the kid, you know. It does everything for the child, right? Amen? We have good parents here? Okay, good. All right. The child is very limited. It might make eye contact with you, right? Or when it sees you, it might smile and you're like, oh, it loves me back. Or it might coo or something, you know, something cute like that. It's just like us. The amount of love we could express back to God is very limited to the amount he could give to us. But it's very important that we receive it. Just like an infant, it's very important that infant receives the love of a parent or a loving guardian. And as spiritual children, we need to just receive God's love. Just receive it. Let him take care of us, feed us, comfort us. The first process is just receiving him. And the second part in process of growing his love is ask him. Let me read two verses. Philippians 1:9, it says, and this I pray, this is Paul talking, and this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and discernment, That your love may abound still. So Paul, one of the prayers that Paul prayed, if you've ever wondered how do I pray or what should I pray, the Bible is a good place to always start. And Paul says he prayed that the other believers' love may abound more and more. And he says in knowledge and in discernment. And in 2 Thessalonians 3:5, this is Paul again, it says, Paul says, may the Lord direct your heart into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. Again, this is Paul praying, may your love grow. Let me just give you a prayer that I've been praying for some of you. And this is not a prayer that I made up myself. This is a prayer that I found a teacher named Mike Bickle. He wrote this prayer. But this is a prayer. I pray it for myself. You know, I pray for myself, but I also pray it for many of you. And it's simply this. Father, pour out your love into my inner being by the Holy Spirit, that my heart may overflow in love back to you and to others. I also ask that you impart your love for Jesus into my heart. I ask for grace to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Allow me to comprehend Jesus' love for me and to abide in it and stay connected to it. Let me see myself through your eyes and to love who you created me to be. Amen. It's a good prayer. I encourage you, if you don't know how to pray or you're struggling with prayer and your prayers, you know, you pray all you prayed and you look at the clock and it's like, you know, 1 minute passes. just begin to look at other people's prayer and copy it. I'm going to give you my secret. That's what I do. And then as I copy other people's prayer, I grow to learn my own language, prayer language. But for, you know, take this prayer, pray it for yourself. And then as you grow in it, pray it for other people. Pray it for your wife, pray it for me. Just pray it. And it's so important that first it's asking God, give me this love. Pour it into me. I need it. Again, love needs to be first. There was a time, I don't know how to share this story, but anyways, I'll share this story and end it with this. But there was a time when I was doubting if God was real. You guys ever had that? No? Just me? Okay. That's fine. Anyways, there was a time. For those of you who don't know me, I became a Christian later in life, so I didn't grow up in the church. So it's not like I was brainwashed into believing in any of this. But, you know, I became a Christian when I was 19. And I think when I was like 23-ish, 24, you know, there was real doubt in my life. Is God real? Is God real? And God did something in my heart. He touched me in a way where for a season, I'm not like this anymore. I wish I was. But for a season, I just had this incredible love for people. I mean, I love you guys. But it was like a supernatural love. And it's like, wow, this really helped me to stop doubting. It was almost like, you know, Moses' rod. If you guys know that story, but it was something that I held on to, that authenticated that, okay, God is real, because, you know, I don't love people like this. This is like supernatural. And I just encourage you, if you've never felt that, first of all, I encourage you to ask God to fill you up in that way. And if you have, if you're not in that place like I am, pray this prayer and ask for God to give you that divine love. Because the most important thing in this life, it's important to serve. Again, it's important to serve. But the most important thing in this lifetime is to learn to love. Love God first. Receive God's love. And as that happens, you'll begin to love others just as God commanded us to. Love others just as I have loved you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this time. And Lord, we do pray that you would fill us with your love. Father, I know that I'm supposed to love you with all my heart, mind, strength, and soul, but God, I just need to receive your love first because I'm so limited in how I can love you. Help me to just receive your love for my life, to hear your voice, Lord. Lord, I just open my heart to you and ask that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.